Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wait. Are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to Trade Coffee for supporting the morning stream. With Trade Coffee, you get fresh roasted and ethically sourced beans from America's best independent roasters. And Trade Coffee ships free to you as often as you like, whole or ground. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, I was blinded by the black light.
Wrapped up like Ejaculation Nation.
Watchers, give me the willies.
Airport food roulette.
Frodo, Bilbo, and Zach.
Ho run, swing a town.
Battle strip.
The mailman delivers in the rear.
Sorry, here we go. Green machine trauma.
Just get cheaper, less tasty birds.
And you may tell yourself, this is not my tiny house.
Stay clear of the clam chowder.
Two Durans enter, one Duran leaves, in the Volvo with Bill.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of the universe with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream?
I work hard all day. And after doing a man's work, I want a man's cigarette. And then puny funny boy kind neither. That's why I smoke the big cigarette for the big man.
Are you boys here to look at the refrigerator?
The Morning Stream is part of a nutritious breakfast kids have grown to love. They're pretty good, I guess. Yeah, they're okay.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's Tuesday, July 26, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Brian
Hello,
is one Chad day Bull. Away from going to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Exactly 24 hours from boarding time, as a matter of fact.
What will you... Okay. I'm going to go ahead and make a assumption here. So Brian
what,
is...
What time will I have my first alcoholic beverage tomorrow?
No, that could be... That's anyone's guess. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's...
But if I'm guessing if what Brian is doing as he sits out in the chairs waiting for the first call...
Oh,
you'll be playing Marvel Snap.
Yeah.
And enjoying some sort of breakfast item. That's my thing.
Certainly the former, probably, I don't know about the latter. I'll definitely have already had breakfast by that point. The question is, will I eat something here at the house or will I grab something at the airport where it's all unfamiliar territory,
yes.
You know, new places to get crappy breakfast foods.
That's right. You never know. So I've only had food poisoning, I think, a couple of times in my life. One was at an airport, and it was on the way home. We got something, and then later I got, like, really sick on whatever I ate. I'm not saying that's common, but I am saying because of that, I've got this thing in my head where airports are sketchy. They're just sketchy.
Right. 50% of the food that you get at airports gives you food poisoning.
That's what I've gone ahead
really
and
where you're at right now.
Yeah, I went ahead and did the math, and it all checks out. But yeah, like I'm always just a little like, who's going to be
really
the right choice?
Even though
here?
There are different restaurants, the restaurant you had food at probably isn't around anymore. I don't know how long ago this happened.
I don't know what it was. Yeah. I don't remember. This was forever ago, like 20 years ago or something.
We have some great restaurants in DIA. There's Root Down. There's Root Down is like a farm to table kind of vegetarian and vegan place, but they make some incredible stuff. That's like, you know what? This, I don't care that there's no meat in it. It is fantastic.
Oh yeah, no, done right. That stuff is incredible. I would eat that every day if everybody did it right.
Chop House has a location in the Denver airport. A couple of the local breweries have. Restaurants in some of the couple of the concourses. I mean, I have no, you know, I have no qualms about eating at the airport.
That's good.
And I've eaten at a lot of airports.
Now, okay, here's a statistic I actually think is high. Three times my wife was in, and some people are gonna say, well, maybe it's Kim's fault and whatever, we'll get to it, but three times she's in different places, usually down south somewhere. So she'll be like in the Houston airport or she'll be in Mississippi or whatever. Three different times somebody there where she went to get something like, oh, just get some fries or something, or I'll get a drink. Somebody scans her card with one of those little sneaky scanners.
Oh, really? Is a little.
Yeah. And then I get notified. Oh, someone bought a 65-inch flat screen television in Texas. Do you know? Is that you? And I'm like, jeez. No, it isn't freaking me. And then we have to cancel the card.
And it's the only time it's ever happened to you, right? We're at because you've had it happen at a restaurant or something.
We have, like we also Utah restaurant. It also happened at BlizzCon in 2014,
right?
I think. And we couldn't use any of our regular cards that week, so we had to use like debit cards and stuff. It was fine, but you know, it worked out in the end. But it was so annoying.
The problem is that when you're out at these things and somebody recognizes you, you do this sort of thing. Oh, hey, can I get a picture with you, Scott? Oh yeah, sure.
Yep.
And then you hold up
my credit card.
For people not watching the stream, you're holding up your card while you're taking pictures.
Yeah, I don't do any pictures without my credit card held up. I want them to see that I have spending power. You know what I mean? I want them to go, he's got a American Express, one of those heavy ones.
American Express green card.
Ooh. Yeah,
yes,
Then they steal it and go buy a TV. That's how it works.
Right, exactly. That's how it always happens.
So
always.
I got a question for all the mail carriers in our listening audience. I actually know there are a few, so hopefully they'll write in about this. Or maybe some people are familiar with how municipal systems work when it comes to mail issues. And I don't mean male like man and their erectile dysfunction.
Okay. Oh, not people who carry men around.
No.
Not those kind of mail carriers.
Yeah, okay. Not those issues. So yesterday, I had a thing that I was already mad because on Sunday, they were supposed to deliver this little router I needed with my switch around with hard drives and stuff. Sure. And they sent me the wrong, or no, they said attempted delivery, couldn't do it. I'm like, what does that mean? 4 o'clock in the afternoon, attempted delivery. I go and look at the detail. It says, I couldn't park very well, so I'll try tomorrow, is basically what the guy wrote.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'm like, I had to walk too far to get to your mailbox.
Yeah. And literally what that meant was across my street, he would have had to park, get out, walk it across the street. Now, I'm not one of those people. It's just like, you know, I'm not going to demand to talk to your manager, but that felt pretty weak because they're always having to park
that's
there.
That's incredibly weak. Yeah. That's you're not being a Karen by being a little irritated by that.
Yes. Thank you. Validation is what I was looking for. So,
Sorry, Karens in the audience.
Yeah, sorry, all you Karens, actual Karens and otherwise.
Actual Karens, not.
Yeah, not the ones we all have vilified.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he comes, he decides to come the next day and he brings it, but then he doesn't bring it to the door, even though this is the kind of UPS package I would expect to have at the door. Instead, it says left in receptacle, which means they put it in the mailbox stuff, which we have a grid of for the neighborhood, you know, where I'm at.
Sure.
And so all the townhomes on the outside of the street and then us and the houses across that way, we're all using the same grid of, you know, these boxes. So I go over there. Ours is normally box 6. I have the key. I open it up and in there's some junk mail and some other stuff. And I'm like, sweet. Okay. There's a key in there. And and when they do that, that means, the box was too big. So it's in one of these larger ones.
The larger receptacles. Oh, that's a good way of doing it.
Totally works fine. Usually it's zero problem. I get it. I look at the key. It says 6B. Okay, cool. Where's 6B? Oh, there it is. And I try to put the key in. No dice. It's not working. Just won't go in. It looks like somebody has like crammed a screwdriver into this thing or something. So I'm like, this won't open. And by the way, I'm out my bare feet in 90 degree weather like an idiot. So my feet hurt. And so I'm trying to turn it. I'm like, well, wait, maybe this is just the key but to a different box. I put it in all the other boxes, 4, 5, and 7. For some reason, there's no 1, 2, and 3. I don't know why.
Okay. Maybe on the other, in another.
Oh, yeah. Probably that. The other
grid,
side over there. Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think of that. But anyway, so I try those and it fits. It doesn't unlock them, of course.
It doesn't turn, but fits.
Right.
So, yeah, there's something jammed in there.
Yeah. So it's effed.
Which. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the mail carrier have to put something in to unlock that box to put your box in and then put a key probably from inside there?
Yeah. That's exactly my thought. I thought the exact thing, Brian. And I was compound irritated because the day before he was supposed to bring in it, tried it, didn't try very hard, and then had to wait a day. So I was already annoyed by that. I'm like, really, of all the boxes here, you chose the one that won't open. And then my brain did like yours just did. Wait, didn't he have to have a key to get in there in the first place? So did
now they have a master key apparently that opens all the boxes, probably from the back.
From the rear?
From the back, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
That's
what they're
saying. Okay, if that's the case, that makes sense. Yeah.
What do they tell you to do with that key? Like, let's say it did work, you opened it, you get your router out, and Bob's your uncle. What do you do with the key? Do you just leave it in the front?
Yes, and it stays. It doesn't come back out unless they come do whatever
they push a little button. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Oh,
so
interesting.
So that makes sense. And maybe what happened here, some kid saw a key dangling and went, ooh, if I get this key out, I can use it later when there's a box in there, and then jammed it, you know, wrecked it or something. I don't know.
Who knows?
But however you got it in there. So here's what's weird. I'm getting real frustrated. I'm like, gosh,
what can you do?
I don't even know who I call. Yeah. I got multiple boxes in this thing. I'm freaking so irritated. And then I just, for the heck of it, took that same key and kind of pried the bottom of the door. And it just popped open. That's not how that's supposed to work, is it?
No, that's definitely not. That seems like... yay, what a salute. Oh, that's kind of bad.
Yeah, that's actually bad. That's actually really bad. And there was stuff in there that had somebody come and taken it would have been real bad. So I took it, my discreet brown non-labeled packaging.
Your brown paper wrapper magazines.
Yeah, just kidding. None of that was in there. Anyway, I get these things, including my router, out of there. And I just thought, okay, well, that was dumb on every level. And I don't know who to talk to. Do I wait for a mail person? Because I don't think the UPS guy normally uses that thing. Do I call somebody? I don't know what to do.
I almost think you, your homeowners association, possibly, or sadly, you've got to call USPS and
maybe I do that.
I'd be surprised if your homeowners association has a master key. Obviously, the post office certainly would.
You'd think so. I would assume so.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then I thought, well, maybe today I'll, because they always come around 1 p.m. Maybe I'll just have an alarm at about 12:50 to just remind me to go out there and just see. You know, if someone pulls up, hey, real quick, I was curious. This thing was, I'll explain the story to them and see if they'll do anything. I don't know. But freaking UPS, bring it to my door like you always do. I got treats and snacks there. Got drinks for you.
Yeah. Kim will make you a pie.
Yeah. You want a pie? We'll make you a pie. You want some jambalaya? Got a whole bowl here, hot and fresh for you. I was so annoyed, but it came. It's here. It's working. Everything's fine. My hard drives are backing up beautifully. Oh, quick shout out. I know I talked to you about this, but I'm going to mention it to anyone out there who might be using Macs. You might all think, the only way to do anything is Time Machine with backups. Incorrect. I didn't know about this utility. Brian, I guess you used it for years. I didn't even know.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've been using it since the first copy I ever bought, or when I got in their ecosystem, was, in the 90s when I was at, Media Marketing.
Oh, wow.
I remember getting it. Yeah.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. Or whenever it was, I could first download it. Cause I don't think I ever got discs from them. It was 2000s, but still it's been a while.
Well, it's called Carbon Copy Cleaner.
Sorry,
cloner.
CCC.
Cleaning your carbon copies. Yep,
always cleaning your carbon. It does everything that Time Machine does now, but with a whole bunch of other options for just, you want to clone a drive, do that. You want to do another kind of daily maintenance run on a drive, you can do that. You want to do a Time Machine style backup where you're like, show me the incremental changes and let me go back a few days and get the old file, that stuff, you can do that. It's awesome, and it was only $39, and I'm freaking loving it. And guess what? I don't use anymore. Time Machine. Because it irritated me with that last drive problem.
Yeah, I guess so. Like you were having, it was just hanging, right?
Oh, it was horrible. And it's the drive. Yeah. It's not Time Machine's fault. But
yeah.
I'm also happy just to find something that has a few more options to it. So it's pretty cool.
Sure. Sure. No, it's really good. We used to use it all the time for our work computers to, because we'd always get these performas for the training system or the training room. And we'd have a master ISO copy, and it would basically just be the fresh, untampered with version of the systems that needed to go on all those computers. So we basically just used Carbon Copy Cloner to set all those up.
Yeah. Chat room says, it reminds me that it was good that they didn't spell everything with a K. Because that'd be KKK. Yeah,
for sure. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
We don't want that. That's a real smart move they made there. Hey, we talked about bees some.
Bees. Yeah. Oh, before we get to bees, can I do a shout? I shouldn't put it in the notes, but so you remember a while back we were talking about a couple of listeners who were driving around the U.S. in there with their tiny house.
Oh, and yeah, right. Right.
Their little website, micro house. YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They came through Colorado yesterday, and Tina and I had dinner and drinks with them, and Matt and Logan. And
did you do it in the tiny house thing, or did you do it as you guys go somewhere? What'd you do?
You didn't do it in the tiny house. Well, here's the deal. They don't have the tiny house anymore. They that thing was just too unwieldy to maneuver around, and in a lot of places that they went to park wouldn't take tiny houses. They're fine with campers, but not tiny houses. It's really weird, especially California. So now they have an Airstream, and basically they scaled down their whole life down to the tiny house, and then they scaled down the tiny house just a little bit more, a little bit further down to the Airstream. And but they didn't bring the Airstream, but they showed us photos. They actually had photos too of the tiny house as well, and it's so cool in there. And the tiny house is really freaking rad too.
Yeah. Like that stuff's awesome. Was the tiny house like a container converted or something? Or is it
No, but it was probably about the width and height of a container, but about, you know, half the length or two thirds the length or something. Mm. But they are they're the nicest couple. She does cardiology work, so she's able to find hospitals that need somebody for a three month stint.
Oh,
stint. Nice. And so they basically can go wherever they want in the country, and she'll work there for 3 months. Then they'll be like, "Great, this was a cool place. Let's go somewhere else." And that's what they do. And that is like, that life sounds so freeing and cool to me. But I look at this house and I look at all the shit in it, and I think, what would it take?
Oh, I know.
To like strip down to just the bare essentials of life. What would I need? I guess that's probably going to get edited out for Jamie. But get rid of, how much stuff would I have to get rid of for us to be able to do that?
We've talked about the same freaking thing a few times, Kim and I. I don't know how I'm just not in the right brain space right now to do it, but I love the idea of it. Always have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just an amazing concept. It does sound like you're just free of everything. Like you don't need to put down roots anywhere. Just go. But I'm also kind of a put down roots kind of guy. So it's hard for me to actually imagine it. I don't know if you're younger, if in my 20s had this been an option, we'd have done this.
Yeah. See, what I'd almost like to do, and this is probably something we could do, is basically have the studio and everything down here where it is, blah, blah, you know, and kind of have it all set up the way it is right now.
Yeah.
Then have a lock on the basement door where the living area upstairs completely, you know, it's couple bedrooms, kitchen, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
And then we figure out people who have cool houses in places that we want to visit.
Yeah.
And we trade for a month. And so, you know, I take my laptop and microphone, mixer and all that stuff and the stuff that we need. And we technically move to another house for a month somewhere on the other side of the country while those people live in our house for a month.
Sure.
And then, you know,
this is the kind of swapping I'm into, you know,
that's exactly.
I definitely swing this direction, you know,
right.
Like this idea. Interesting.
Oh, Yeah. God, I meant to tell you. So heard from some people about the conversation yesterday when I was talking about dropping that couple off at the Swingers Club in South Denver.
Yeah, the one that has and good food, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah. That has a good restaurant, yeah. They sent me a video of the inside of one of those clubs, like a tour of one of those clubs.
Yeah.
And it's just fascinating. Like there's so many protocols for what you can do, where you can do it, how you indicate to other people what you're fine with them doing or not doing. They've got this open area. This is where you kind of meet people and maybe figure out who you want to go and mess around with for a little bit. And then there's this other section that is for couples and singles. Apparently singles can go to one of these places as well. It's like, well.
Oh, so you don't have to swing with another couple. You could go in there and it could be you.
You could go in there as a free agent and basically,
man.
Like,
wow.
Any teams looking for a new batter? Who's looking for a new batter? Which one of you teams?
Anyway. They have like a month free and then decide if you want to stay kind of thing? Or how does all that work?
Free trial, seven-day free trial period. Yeah, but then they've got these little rooms. So they've got the room that's got all of these smaller rooms in it. And each of those rooms has a elaborate curtain system that has what looks like a screen sewn together with a blackout curtain. Okay. And so if you want to mess around, you want everybody to watch, you leave the curtains wide open. I think that also might be a invitation for anybody who wants to jump in.
Sure.
Then you've got the semi-private, which is like a screen curtain that you put over it. And it's like, what did that indicate? I think that just indicates, join us if you want. And then you've got the blackout curtain, which is like, nope, what's going on here is for us only and sorry and blah, blah, blah.
Do they have watchers only?
Is closed. No, you can watch, but you can't join.
Are there any people that come in that are just watchers, you know?
Like, I'm sure. Totally. Yeah.
Those people give me the willies. I don't know why. The whole place would give me the willies.
Right. I guess everybody's got their thing, you know, maybe.
No,
maybe.
I have no problem with, I mean, they can do whatever they want, but if I was in there, I would be like, what's that guy just staring? I don't want the staring guy.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, everybody, move along. And then there's a whole different set of rooms where it's couples and other couples only. You can't go in there as a free agent. You must have a partner, wife, girlfriend, husband, whatever, sure, to attend. Yeah.
This is so out of my zone.
It is. Oh, mine too. I was watching this going, can never do it. That's interesting. Could never do it.
Could never do it.
That's cool.
It'll look, you know, well, nicely clean and, you know, like a nice place.
Yeah. Okay. Looked really nice, clean, well-maintained. They have protocols that show so they have people who come in anytime any of those beds or those couches or any of those rooms are used. There's like a little indicator. It's a pillow that you put in a certain place or basically move from a certain place, to indicate that the room has been used, and somebody swoops in there and cleans the hell out of that room. Ugh. and then puts the pillow back in the place that indicates, yep, this room has been sanitized.
Wow.
Big rolls of towels next, like rolled up towels next to each room. Like, okay, now I'm having to visualize why you need a towel.
Yeah, like I feel like it's, you know, Ejaculation Nation in there, and you'd have to really, you know, you'd have the night crew come in and really hose the place down. I don't know.
That's right. No black lights allowed in these clubs, by the way. The light would be blinding.
Yeah, that's weird. All right, well, that's interesting.
Anyway,
who sent you that? Somebody sent you that, or
somebody sent me a link to the tour. Do you want me to forward it on to you?
Yeah, actually, kind of. I'm curious
because it. Yeah,
I'm curious for sure. I want to see what these. I'm never going to be in one. So
of course, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's.
I want to know what's up. I assume this was like a tour when no one's around, no one's doing anything.
Yes, yeah, the place was empty, and so somebody, just giving a tour.
You think a big Vincent D'Onofrio looking guy with a shirt way down to his belly and his freaking gold chains owns the place? Like, I'm picturing who owns
it. You're picturing, I know exactly who you're picturing. You're picturing, what's his face? God, who ran the Bunny Ranch and died?
Yeah, though he was in that reality show they had for a while.
Yes, Yes.
I don't remember his name.
I actually saw his deathbed.
Ew.
Because it was at that Zach Bagans... Or Zach Bagans, I guess Zach Bagans would be a hobbit. Zach Bagans' haunted tour in Vegas with Tanner and Alex.
This is Frodo. This is Bilbo. And that's Zach.
Right, exactly, yes.
That guy's Zach over there. Zach, the ugly cousin. That's amazing. All right, I will check that out after the show.
Hugh Hefner, no. Hoff, yes. Dennis Hoff.
Dennis Hoff.
Yeah, I'm sure it was shortened for But anyway, yeah, that's who I'm visualizing as kind of the person who runs things like this.
From the grave, probably.
From the grave. Yeah. And yeah, and no, Claire, this will never be a mystery date, ever.
No.
Ever.
No. Yeah. That ain't, I mean, you know, at the very least, I don't even trust hotels.
The mystery would be how long Tina stays with me after I take her.
Exactly. I don't trust even the way the hotels are cleaned. I can't imagine I would trust this anyway. You know, just I'm not. You'd have to really show me your protocols for me to get.
Yeah, I have to see them in person. I want to see the person who cleans the room, and I want to watch how they clean the room, please.
Yeah, and even then, I'll just watch old Guy Fieri reruns with somebody in a room. So I'm not even interested. I don't want to go in there for what people. I want to eat the food and see if that's any good, unless they prepare it naked or something. You know.
Yeah.
Like, because there's a strip club downtown called.
I recommend you stay away from the clam chowder, sir.
there's a strip club in downtown Salt Lake City called the. Shoot, I forgot the name of it. Southern Exposure. That's the name.
Okay. All right.
Their logo is an upside down triangle. You get the idea. Anyway. So we went in there once for lunch.
Well, fully work.
Because someone said they had amazing chicken salad sandwiches there. And so we went in there to get them. And then while we were there, the guy I was with goes, Chuck is his name, goes, you think they make this, like, there's strippers back there that are, like, naked making these?
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah,
thanks sure a lot, are, dude. Yes. I don't need to hear that. I don't want to eat this sandwich now.
I'm sure it's like, hey, what do you say we just make these chicken salad sandwiches naked? Yeah. Oh, sounds great.
That's right. And then we'll dress up again and then go strip all that off again and then make more sandwiches.
And then we'll put our clothes back on and take the chicken sandwiches out.
Yep. Yeah. So dumb. All right, bees. On the subject of bees.
Please, let's talk bees. Bees!
These are emails.
Send and receive email.
One of these is from Jason from British Columbia, Canada.
Canada!
And he says, hey, Sting and bee. Mm. Okay, so I'm the thing coming out of your butt, and you die when I come out. Think of that.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I thought of. Says, I was listening to TMS 2322, and you were talking about bees. I work for a honey producer in Canada, and I do find that, in particular, honeybees are attracted to the color yellow. We have a big yellow specialized forklift for beekeeping used to move hives around, and any time I get in the forklift to drive around, all the bees are swarming me. Sometimes, in the warm weather, you can have thousands of them flying around your head. It could be a little scary, but as long as you don't mess with them, they won't mess with you. Love the show, though, Jason. Well, that's interesting. The color thing.
That. So, yeah, I guess if the bees like to look at the stars and see how they shine for you and all the things you do.
I mean, all I know is I grew up with that. If it was an old wives' tale, then that's what I grew up with. Or if it's true, whatever. But they always said, if you wear bright colors, especially yellow, you're going to attract bees.
I say Jason is an expert and, listen, he's around bees all the time. If yellow attracts them, he would be the person to know. Absolutely.
There you go. Follow up about bees from Crucifudge. It's an amazing name. He's an AIE for life. He says, hi Sting and Buzz. So now you're Buzz.
Oh,
and
look
Sting.
At that. Wow. Yep. You know,
I'm singer songwriter Sting. You are Buzz Lightyear.
To infinity and Roxanne.
Space Ranger. Buzz Lightyear. As a budding beekeeper, I've been stung a few times in the past few years. Although I'm not allergic, bee venom will still make a sting uncomfortable beyond the initial stinging, including itching and swelling. It's given me a new appreciation for those those notorious buttholes, yellow jackets.
Yeah, oh, no kidding.
They are notorious buttholes.
Yeah.
Honeybee can only sting you once, since doing so usually kills them. On the other hand, a jackass yellow jacket will keep on stinging you until its malicious heart or to its malicious heart's content. The good part is there's no venom. Once you get stung, there's no swelling or anything. It just sucks, and then it's done.
Huh.
So next time you get stung by a yellow jacket, thank your lucky stars and think of the time I had to drop my pants because a honeybee had flown up my pants leg and was buzzing around my junk. Good luck, Crucifudge. Well, Crucifudge, when I was a little kid, this happened to me where a bee, I assume it was a bee, I was eight. I was on a green machine. Remember those?
Oh, I totally remember those. I had one, and at some point, I think it needs to be a Wendy story.
But, yeah, we should figure out why we were so obsessed with green machines.
It goes even further than that. But please continue.
There's a story.
Yeah, there's a story.
Well, I'm on the green machine. I'm like eight. And I get stung. I freak out and run in the house. My mom takes off my shirt. It turns out it was on my back shoulder where the bee had gotten up in my shirt. Mm-hmm. So she's like, oh, well, it looks like you're okay. And I didn't, I'm not allergic or anything. And takes my shirt off, bangs it out. Never did see the bee. Puts my shirt back on. Go outside of the green machine. Not 5 minutes later. Three more stings. The bee never left the shirt. Was always in the shirt the whole time. I don't know how it kept stinging me
the whole time,
and it never. Oh, that was the other thing. She didn't find it.
Was a bee? Like it wasn't a yellow jacket if it kept stinging you?
Well, good point. I don't actually remember for sure. She said bee, and we thought, and by the third or fourth sting, the bee or the stinger was actually there, but previous to that, we couldn't see it. So I don't know if that means anything. If it came out of, I guess a yellow jacket could still lose.
Bees also have. I wonder if bees can bite. You know, I mean, could you have gotten bitten and then finally he's like, screw it. I'm just going to sting. I know I'm going to die, but I just got to sting this jerk.
Yep. One bitten, twice stung as the old phrase goes. Yeah. I don't know. But I remember I remember hating that. And for the rest of my life now, I still to this day, I see a bee and I'm like, stay over there. Like, I just get really freaked out about bees. Well, anyway, all you guys in your awesome bee stories, thank you for writing those in. We appreciate them.
No kidding. Oh, I think, and Retlaw7 threw photos of the green machine into the chat, or threw a link to photos of the green machine. Yeah, basically, it was like a big wheel, but instead of you turning the front wheel with a handlebars, with a set of handlebars, you had two levers, and basically it operated like you pull one lever back, push the other one forward, and you turn left. You push the other one back, and you turn right. Like, you basically operated it just like that.
It was awesome.
The front wheel stayed put. It was the back wheels that would change direction based on those levers.
Yep, and everybody wanted one. It was the most like sought after gift that year. Anybody wanted if you're that if a kid of a certain age.
Yeah, I mean, the story that, you know, maybe needs to come out with Wendy is that when we lived in an apartment, I had one of these. I begged for it, finally got it for Christmas from my dad, but we didn't have a place to put it inside the apartment. Mm. I don't know why. Would have fit just fine. Yeah. Or my mom didn't want me to bring the apartment or something like that. And and a lot of kids had bicycles and tricycles like sitting outside their door. It's funny because you wouldn't think about doing that now, but back then, they usually didn't get messed with, but because these things were so sought after and idolized by other kids, one day I came out and my green machine was gone. Mm-hmm. And then later on that same day, I saw it in the apartment dumpster, like wrecked. Like, in other words, these other kids, whoever did it, were so jealous that I had one. It wasn't that they wanted to take it and steal it and have it themselves.
Yeah.
They wanted to destroy it so I didn't have it. And that, I think, has been something that stuck with me my whole life about, like, protecting my stuff and being very, like, paranoid about leaving anything where somebody could get it.
You locked in on that, that's interesting.
I can remember the way I felt when I rounded the corner and saw the green machine sitting in the dumpster.
It's like when people come home and their house has been not just burgled but kind of like wrecked inside.
That feeling of vandalized, complete violation of what you thought was sacred.
You know, all I know is they let you spin out real good. I remember that.
They did. That was the best thing about that. Having the back wheels be the things that turned basically meant that you could. So I guess, what were the brakes on that thing? Was it just the reverse? You like went in reverse with the pedals really quick?
I don't remember. I think yes. And you could use that to your like spin ability as well. So you could like stop without, and but you'd kind of turn around.
And then turn pull the levers.
The video I just watched, these kids are all wearing helmets. We did not do that.
No way. Really? Oh my gosh. Yeah. Definitely never, no.
Nope.
None of those in our green machine life.
Yeah, man. It was like the late 70s, early 80s. We didn't.
Not even on bikes, not even on skateboards. I didn't have a helmet until I became an adult and got a bike. And like, oh, we have to wear these now?
Okay. Yeah. And most motorcycle people I knew back then didn't wear them. And also a lot more people probably died as a result.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why that happened. All right. Well, that was all good and well. Let's move from green machines to a little bit of news.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. In the news this morning, good morning.
It's time for the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Cord Killers. Yeah, we're going to talk about a show that features two people who aren't on this show today. Tom Merritt and Brian Brushwood. And, of course, Bryce, who is way more... Like, the last time I was on there, Bryce barely... you know, said anything on the show. This time, last night, he was on there a lot, which is great. I love Bryce.
Yeah, he's great.
Last night we talked all about the new MCU phases 4, 5, and 6. We talked about a whole bunch of Netflix stuff with their quarter earnings and their firm stance on no, we're not going to go to the week by week delivery of shows, but you know, we still want to give everybody the chance to binge everything as soon as day one. Anyway, I was on the show last night. It was a lot of fun. Go check out Cord Killers wherever you get your Cord Killer podcasts.
Yes, the Cord Killer podcast, available wherever Cord Killers happens.
Exactly.
Martha Stewart in the news.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Back in jail.
Just a good thing.
Just kidding. She's not back in jail. A coyote attacked her ranch thing she's got and killed 6 of her peacocks. All right? These are peacock, not the pluses.
Owning 6 peacocks, or owning however many peacocks she has, 6 less now, I don't know how many she has total.
Yeah.
Isn't that just like I have a lot of money... They're not companions. She's not like, oh yeah, these are the peacocks that I hang out with day in and day out, and we cuddle by the fire, or they sit on my lap, or whatever. That's just like I have a lot of money. I want peacocks.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a peacock, and then Peacock Plus if I'm really feeling like not watching commercials. You get that?
Nice.
The coyote killed 6 of these damn things. Let's see. These were, I guess she shows them on Instagram a lot. So that's.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So, well, that proves, disproves my point about her wanting to show off how rich she is to have a bunch of peacocks.
Exactly. If anything, it enhances your point of view, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a brazen daylight attack. The lifestyle maven confirmed Saturday via social media. Rest in peace, beautiful blue boy, she says. The coyotes came
in broad daylight and devoured him and 5 others, including the magnificent white boy.
I was waiting for this in a radar voice, like he just walked into surgery, pulled down his mask and said, "The coyotes came in broad daylight and devoured him and 5 others, including the magnificent white boy."
Yeah.
There were no survivors.
Oh, man. Ask your parents, I guess, for some of you.
Yeah.
Haven't watched MASH. It's an amazing moment. Anyway, let's see. Any solutions for getting rid of 6 large, aggressive coyotes who have expensive tastes when it comes to poultry, she says?
Mm. Oh, thanks. Oh, they were expensive? Oh, thanks. Oh, thanks, Martha Stewart.
Thanks Martha Stewart. Yeah. Maybe jail. I don't
know. Maybe get cheaper birds. Cheaper.
Get cheaper birds.
Cheaper birds that don't taste as good.
I love that.
Can I reply to her Instagram right now and say maybe buy cheaper birds that don't taste as good?
Yeah, there you go. I like that one. Salon confirmed that the attack occurred on her Bedford estate in Westchester County, New York. It's fancy business up there.
Yeah.
The video clip was accompanied by Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On, according to the Today report.
Yeah. When I first saw this article, and I just scanned it because I was like, oh, what are we going to be talking about today? I honestly thought that she had video of the peacocks getting eaten by the coyotes.
No,
and the video was set to Let's Get It On.
Nope.
And I really wish that was the thing, right?
Why doesn't she have, I don't know how many acres she has, but it's probably big enough that these things can't be watched all the time, right? Like, you can't keep your eye on every peacock.
I don't know. I mean, if you can afford peacocks, you can afford security or a big fence or something.
Yeah. I kind of feel like she...
Be on the lookout for six coyotes with giant feathers sticking out of their mouths.
My experience,
poop rainbows.
My experience of peacocks is they're kind of jerks. Never really ran into one that was like nice. Like the ones at the zoo, they all kind of walk around. You're like, oh, look at this. And you get close to it and it's like, bah! And like hisses at you.
Oh, yeah. No, you can hear them when you're at the zoo making those noises.
I hate them. Yeah, F peacocks.
Be on the lookout for six coyotes who howl like this. Bung, bung, bung.
It's an unusual howl, but you'll know it when you hear
Easy
it.
Easy to spot them. Yeah.
Snoop Dogg should go over and help her. They're pals.
There you go. Why isn't Snoop Dogg watching her place when she's out? Yeah. Brazen daylight attack.
She'd say, what should I do, Snoop? And he'll say, smoke weed every day. Doctors in Egypt have extracted a mobile phone from a patient's stomach. Tasty. They removed a mobile phone from the stomach of a patient who swallowed the device several months ago. It's been in there for a while.
A new old lady who swallowed a phone.
I don't know why she swallowed
Perhaps
the phone.
Perhaps she's done.
I guess she's boned, like that.
That's probably the better one, yeah.
Aswan University Hospital admitted the patient on Friday after suffering severe abdominal pain. I wonder if he told him right away, well, I did swallow a phone 2 months ago.
It seems, why would you wait multiple months? You know what? Now I'm having stomach aches.
Weird. Don't feel great.
Feel these vibrations every once in a while.
I wonder how the battery did. I don't think it's like a full-on like smartphone. I think it's a little flippy phone.
It would have to be, right?
Yeah, like more like a Nokia.
I could probably swallow. We had a, what was it called? When Tristan was young, before cell phones were as prevalent as they are now, we had a little phone for him that basically had three buttons on it. For any age of your kid, because it had a picture of mom on it, had a picture of dad on it, had a picture of the police on it, and he could push any of those. Like, it would basically call our phones or the police if he was in trouble.
Sure.
I could have swallowed that thing. That thing was small enough.
Yeah. And from the photo, they don't really give you a lot of detail, but it's pretty much like, did you get him? What is it? What'd you get? Ew. Is that a mosquito? Like a fruit fly? What do we got there?
It's like a little gnat. Ugh.
Eat it. Eat it.
I'm not going to eat it.
Oh, eat it on the air. Come on.
That's just gross. I would do it, but there's really no point. We're not that kind of show.
No, we're
Scott,
not that kind of show. And we're not, it's not like Nux in the back of the war rig who's starving and a spider comes along.
That's right.
Doesn't work that way.
I was like, where is my hand sanitizer? Hand sanitizer.
That's right. Hans. Do we have a guy? We have a guy that follows us called Hans Sanitizer, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's in the patron. Patreon. I always see him in there. Anyways,
there we go. All clean.
I can lick his hand. It's fine.
Clean enough to eat off of.
Yep. Eat off Brian's hand. Ew. Anyway, the after examination, they found he was suffering severe infection and stomach cramps. They said that it was originally just a foreign body inside the patient's stomach, but found out later it was a small phone. Small cell phones, what I'm trying to say.
A small phone.
This subsequently led to preventing food from being digested and caused painful cramps. Patient's condition is now stable. They got it out. Originally, I thought, what would they do? Go the other direction? They jam a phone in the computer?
Right. This is where it gets interesting, right? The stomach pains weren't caused by the phone itself. It was caused by not being able to eat because the phone was blocking food from making it to the stomach.
Yeah, that's right. You tried to down a plate of curry and there's a phone going, nope. Right.
Exactly. Okay. Well,
that's call blocking right there, yo.
Which means, he never thought that swallowing the phone would become a problem until, I guess it did become a problem when I couldn't get food around it.
Yeah, and also this article goes into none of this, but I don't understand the motivation. Why'd you swallow the phone?
Oh, well, yeah, no, exactly.
Tell me why.
Those look so yummy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
A Google Pixel? Oh my gosh, that looks delicious.
I can't try to understand why people do things they do. Like, why would you swallow a phone? And then why would you act like everything's fine? Oh, okay, I'm just going to dinner now.
Why wouldn't you open with that when you get to the doctor's office? Yeah. Oh, well, I have stomach pains. By the way, a couple months ago, I had a phone.
I ate a freaking phone. Yeah. You have a phone
might
in your
guts. Might
be
related, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he was hiding from the police. Could have been one of those deals. Like when they eat paper and stuff. Yeah.
It's a burper phone.
Burper phone.
Yeah, no, that was bad.
No, that's I kind of like it. I'm not going to.
Not even worth acknowledgement.
The court will allow it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, look how many mobsters have died. Mobster actors have died in the last month.
No kidding. Paul Sorvino, right. And I forgot that he was.
Yeah.
Played quite the, like, had quite the mafia boss.
Yeah. Multiple times, but especially in Goodfellas, he was the chief dude in that. Mm-hmm. And then you got your Ray Liotta from the same movie and other movies. Often playing a mobster type guy. Then before that, you got the Polly Walnuts guy from Sopranos passed away.
Sopranos, yep. Well, look at that. So, and James Caan. You said James Caan.
James Caan.
Now with Paul Sorvino, there's no objections. There's the one blockage to me dating his daughter is gone.
Yep.
His forbidding me from dating Mira Sorvino has now been lifted.
Finally. Our chances now.
Sorry, Tina.
Yeah. I remember him getting all fired up when he found out Weinstein was the reason his daughter got blacklisted because she wouldn't go along with his bullshit.
Oh, and, really?
She got kind of blacklisted for a long time after she won her Oscar for, what was it she won for?
It was Mighty Aphrodite, wasn't it?
Was that it? I can't remember what it was.
I think so.
I always liked her and stuff. But, I always just think of her in The Replacement Killers. I freaking love that movie, the John Woo movie. Or not John Woo.
Yeah.
Antoine Fuqua movie. Love it.
Oh, look, she's still just lovely.
Yeah, she's great. Nothing wrong with her at all. Give her career back is what I'm getting at, though.
Yeah, for sure. Especially with the Weinstein thing not really behind us as much as it's been finally come out in the open. Yeah, Best Supporting Actress for Mighty Aphrodite.
That's it.
Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. I think we watched Mimic on Film Sack.
Yeah, I love Mimic.
Replacement Killers, you mentioned. Summer of Sam might be another one for Film Sack.
Yeah.
But,
and we did Replacement Killers, I think. Didn't we? I would have begged for that one early in Film Sack.
Yes, I think we did. Chow Yun-Fat, Michael Rooker. Yeah, I think we did.
Okay, I'm going to look. Just to make sure, because this drives me crazy. Quicksack.ly, here we go.
Okay,
Replacement. All right. If I could spell it. Yeah, we did. 229 back in 2014. Failing to kill any more because of his conscience, a troubled hitman seeks aid from a forger to help him get his papers to China. However, the drug lord has hired replacements to finish the job and kill the hitman. Ooh.
Oh, did you watch? So, 2019, there was a miniseries for Netflix called Hollywood.
Mm.
It seems like it's right up your alley, but it's a.
I haven't heard of that.
Let's see. How is this done? American drama streaming television miniseries. Ensemble cast. Darren Criss, Joe Mantello, Dylan McDermott, Holland Taylor, Samara Weaving, Jim Parsons, Patti LuPone, Mira Sorvino. About aspiring actors and filmmakers during the... Oh, interesting. She plays an actress whose career stalled out after a relationship with a studio head.
Oh, ooh.
That was in 2019. So it's like, how do you not have some PTSD from playing that kind of character after all the Weinstein stuff? Jeez.
Yeah, no kidding. It didn't review super well, people like it. Let's see.
Yeah, heck of a cast in this thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I might want to watch this. Ryan Murphy, Ryan Murphy joint.
Oh, he's good. I like Ryan Murphy.
He makes things.
Yeah. Farmer Cliff Sod, he says, or he or she, I guess Farmer Cliff, he says that was a good miniseries. So
okay.
There you go.
I'm still mad at him for Glee. Glee sucked.
Oh, well, yeah.
Hated
it. It did. There was,
Hated it. All right. Even when everyone says it was good, I hated it. All right. Yeah. That's it for news for today. We're going to come back here in a second and hang out with first Bill Duran and then after that, Bobby Frankenberger. But we can't do any of that until I've had a song in my stomach with my phone in there. So what do you got?
If you can get by that phone. Let's get to a band called Dawes. This is their eighth studio album. You've probably heard of them. D-A-W-E-S. You know this band. Their brand new album is called Misadventures of Doomscroller. It's about Scott and his TikToks. Just kidding. I do love that that one you sent me last night with the guy who sounds just like Michael Jackson.
That thing is so amazing. Freaky. He's so good. Oh my gosh, the rest of his videos are good too. He's really good. He's like super talented, but he could fake it. He could be Michael Jackson.
That's cool.
Crazy.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, the whole album is available now. Misadventures of Doomscroller. It's the band Dawes from Los Angeles. Here's a single from the machine from the album. It's called Ghost in the Machine.
I built up in my early years under reconsideration through the music of the spheres, which I cannot deny any longer. When every night I reconvene with these vibrations giving proof.
talk about some good old-fashioned morning, wake-you-up-in-the-morning coffee. How about that? So Trade Coffee's on the docket today. And they're awesome. Trade Coffee connects customers to the freshest and best-tasting coffee they've ever made. That's right. You're used to making coffee at home, but have you made coffee this good? Well, the reason is they partner with the country's best craft roasters. These are all, by the way, small businesses, you know, independent businesses, big city, small towns, all over the place. And Trade customers are pretty impactful for these independent roasters. Sometimes they're the largest source of growth for them, so that's pretty cool. And they expertly taste every coffee. They have a team that actually taste tests thousands of cups. All right? That's a lot. They keep 450 different kinds ready to go, shipped straight to you. And there's no, I mean, there's probably not a perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you, right? That's what this is all about, matching you up with the best. And Trade's human-powered algorithm is going to find it for you. Trade's first match guarantee is this. They are so confident they'll get you right with the first coffee the first time that if they don't, they'll take your feedback and an actual coffee expert will work with you and send you a brand new bag for free. Well, that's pretty great. Well, they're really great. the thing I like about them the most is the experience from start to end is super, super simple. You go to the website, you take this quick quiz. That's how they start matching you with the right coffee. And boom, comes to your door and everyone raves. Simple as that. Right now, they're offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/TMS. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Can't beat that. Get started today by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/TMS and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/TMS for $30 off.
This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture.
We must find this butthole that took our TV.
A ticking time bomb spells trouble for Scott and Brian. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. Remind me who that was.
Yeah, that was the band Dawes from their brand new album, Misadventures of Doomscroller, and a great little bluesy rocker called Ghost in the Machine.
Nice. What's that remind me of? I guess Ghost in the Machine.
Like the Police album that had them as pixels, digital clock faces.
Those, they don't like each other anymore, right? The band?
Sting doesn't like Andy Summers and Stuart Copeland, but I think Stuart and Andy like each other just fine.
But they do they not like him? Like, is it kind of a mutual thing where Sting annoys them, they annoy Sting?
I think so. Yeah, I think that they just had a lot of fights in that band and they didn't end things amicably. I saw them. It's funny. After the breakup, I saw them. Elvis Costello opened up for him at Red Rocks and it was an incredible concert.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can play together as long as they just don't talk to each other.
Sure. Yeah, don't talk. Just play.
Yeah.
Red Rocks.
Don't stand so close to each other.
Such an awesome venue, man. I got to get there someday. I want to see something there. I want to see a comedy concert there. That's what I want. I don't know why.
Really?
I
think you want to see something with music and acoustics.
Do
I get why you'd want to see, because you like comedy concerts, right?
Yeah, but I do. I enjoy them.
It almost feels like a waste to see a comedy show there because of how those giant stone walls can affect the music in ways that other amphitheaters can't.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
Then I'll think about what band I want. That'll do it.
Okay. Think about what band you want. I would say just figure out, you know, a time you can come out here and see whoever's playing because
yeah, exactly.
It'll still be.
Yeah. I'm just going to pick the band first, ask them to come out there, and then I'll see you. Yeah,
do that.
I'll make that work.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Hey, look who it is, you guys. It's Bill Duran from Punish Props. He's also fun, but he's also from punishprops.com. makes a fantastic channel all about making things. And since we live in the world of makers, what better time to have him on than this fine Tuesday? Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here and happy to and excited to talk about a really fun project that I did.
Ooh, really?
Cool.
I love
it.
So lay it out. What do you got?
So this is a little something that I worked on back in like 1997, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
My dad restored, well, I helped him, my brothers and I helped him, restored a 1968 Volvo P1800 sports car.
Yeah.
And if you're curious what it looks like, I just tweeted out some photos of it.
Okay.
And it's just the coolest little car. My dad had one when he was in his 20s, so he was very nostalgic for this cool little sports car. It's a two-seater. There is technically a back seat, but you need to really not like the person that you cram back there because there's really no leg room.
Oh my gosh, look at that tiny little back. Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I love this.
And it's the car that Roger Moore drove in the show The Saint.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that was familiar to me. What's the model and make again?
So it's a 1968 Volvo P1800.
P1800. Yeah. Okay.
And it's sitting there. I got to take it out driving, and someone in a 240, a Volvo 240, pull up next to us at Dunkin' Donuts because they were excited to see it.
So I guess like Volvo people, they know, right? They know
what's up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that thing.
Yeah. Oh. Also, I'm pissed at you for having 70 degree weather in wherever you are.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that on the sign.
Looking at all the buttons on the deck, like, I want that there to be an eject button in that center thing right next to the cigarette lighter.
Should add one and not even tell my dad. See if he notices. Yeah.
So is that first shot of the far off shot? Is that your dad in that car back then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. No, that was, I took that maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
Photo.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Freaking.
So this was a huge project. We ended up getting our hands on, I think, three cars, the one main car and then two other kind of wrecked cars that were donors. And we ended up pulling parts off of those to kind of build one complete car. And it took us a couple of years both to collect all the parts and cars and to do all of the work.
Mm.
But I'll tell you what, we learned everything about that car, both inside and out.
I'll bet. Yeah. We used to call those, my dad used to do some of this stuff as well, pull from other cars and add them to a different car, and he called them a Franken car back then. Because like it was always parts from like, oh, this came from a Honda, but we're putting it in a Volkswagen. No one will ever know, you know. But he loved doing that.
We did a lot of that. We had a lot of Saabs, and we had an attic full of Saab parts. And if we could get a wreck that we could pull the parts off, we'd do it. Because we did all the work on the cars ourselves.
That's really cool.
We had all the parts.
Very cool. And this car resides where right now? Is this up in New York still?
Yeah, this is in where my parents live in upstate New York.
Nice.
So it took, like I said, it took a ton of work. We took everything off that car. The leather seats were reupholstered. The car body was completely stripped of paint, and we had it repainted. Mm-hmm. The bumpers got re-chromed. All the brake lines and electricals got re-ran. Every single component, since we had to repaint the body, everything had to come off of it. So everything got taken off, everything got cleaned, everything got repainted, and everything got put back together.
Nice. What was the time? What's time to complete for this thing from start to finish, do you think?
I would say maybe 2 years, 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, worked on it regularly, like once a week you'd get in there, or like
yeah, a couple days a week, maybe. A lot of times waiting for parts, waiting for like a specific part, or sending a part out to get, like, we sent the bumpers out to get re-chromed, and then that shop closed, so my dad had to sneak in and get the bumpers back. Like, nice. Or the shop closed up for good. He didn't. Yeah, so it was an adventure. There were a lot of weird things like that where we'd have to wait for something or steal part of our car back or whatever.
And it still runs. You can get in there, turn it over, and go.
It does. Yeah, it's weird. So it has a choke. You got to pull the choke out a little bit to get it started.
Yeah.
It also requires a lead additive to the gas. You have to add lead to the gas.
Oh, so really?
There's no more leaded gas you have to do. Yeah.
There's a regular unleaded and extra leaded.
Yeah. So it's like, what? Is that something you can just buy in a bottle and pour in there?
Yeah, it's a funky little bottle. You squirt a little in the tank when you fill up. Yeah.
Wild, man.
But it does. It runs great. It's a sports car. It's a quick little car. It's really fun. Your sphincter is about 6 inches from the ground, though, I'll tell you what. Like... Your butt is low, and your head is bumper level with every other modern car. So it is an experience.
Weird. It's hard to tell from the photos, but I guess. The one that where it's next to the wagon, the Volvo wagon, you can kind of see the lower profile of this thing.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. It's a stick shift. It's really fun. It's super, super cool. Now, I never got to drive it as a teenager.
Oh, boo.
When it was finished, my dad got it. He had to get insurance for it. And you can get classic car insurance. And it's very, very cheap because they expect someone with a classic car to baby it.
Yeah, right. Makes sense.
They made him sign a thing saying that under no circumstances will either of his twin teenage boys drive this classic car.
It's such a Ferris Bueller, all I can visualize is Cameron and the
that's totally it,
and the Ferrari or whatever it was.
And it was like, the last thing I need to do before we can drive this car on the road is go get it insured. And he came back from the insurance place and he's like, so I've got some great news, the car insurance is extremely cheap. Bad news, you can't drive it.
You will never set foot behind the steering wheel or set butt behind the steering wheel.
Yep. So anyway, my twin brother and I were fighting over who was going to get to drive this thing to the prom. Well, neither one of us got to drive to the prom. Instead, we got to share the minivan, which was not even close to
cool. That sucks. Yeah. I mean, whatever. When you're... Like, for me, it was, I had access to every time my dad came over from California for these car auctions, he would bring something awesome, usually. And then it would always be the worst timing for dances and proms and stuff, because the week before I could have had a 300ZX, right? With a T-top, turbo, black, beautiful, amazing car to take a girl anywhere in. And then the very next week, it's like, oh, we sold that one, but we got this Yugo with the steering wheel that comes off, so don't turn too hard. Like, dude, it's my date tonight. You don't have it. Oh, well, I should wear that football fumbles. He thought that was great. But anyway, I totally feel that. But do you think you'll, not to jump too far ahead, but do you think you'll inherit this car, or are you and Jamie going to have to fight over it, or how's that going to go?
I would love to have this car.
I want a brother fight. I want to see the Durans go at it.
We'll see. So my little brother, we already know he's getting the house.
Yeah.
So I think I can pull hard for the car.
Yeah. If he's inheriting a house. Share with him. Sure. Yeah. That's the problem with being twins. It's just dead on competition. Oh, that's the worst.
Right. Yeah, but you're older by like a couple minutes, aren't you?
That's true.
There you go. Seniority. Finally get to wave that seniority flag.
Yeah. Just, push that a little bit. Say, I'm sorry, but as you know, I got here first.
I turned 16 before you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been driving a little longer than you.
Yeah. Right. There you go. Exactly.
Plus, you're a teacher, and it's not cool to drive this car if you're a teacher. Your kids will make fun of you. You can come up with all kinds of ideas. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. You got this.
Yeah, that will work. My dad was a teacher. He drove at the school, and it was very cool.
I'll bet it was. Well, that's awesome. If you want to follow Bill on Twitter, he posts stuff like this all the time. And you can see these images over at twitter.com/chinbeard. Do that today. Hey, Bill, do you have a... You have a little side action. Yeah.
So Alex Steele, the blacksmith, is making a crescent wrench from scratch. He recently did a ratcheting socket wrench from scratch, and I just think it's absolutely fascinating to see how these tools are both made and how they work. So he's got an example one, and he's trying to recreate it. I think as a practice in making, I think that's a really cool idea. Really cool.
Oh, yeah, right. Start with something you just physically have and make a duplicate of it.
Exactly, yeah. And just to figure out the steps it takes to recreate that.
Is it like, is that a form of reverse engineering, or would you call it something else? I don't know.
Probably. Yeah. Or just, I don't know. I guess he's making a replica.
Yeah, I guess he is.
This is actually closer to what I do.
Sure.
It's good to see that this guy's getting work now that One Direction broke up.
Yeah, you know, look. When these kids, you worry about these kids. You want them to do well. You know, they can't all be that one that ended up in that movie. Anyway, well, this is great. As always, Bill, fun hanging out. Punishprops.com. And, of course, the YouTube channel always is there. Punishprops on YouTube. Have a fantastic week.
You got it.
See you next time. Oh, wait, hold on. There we go.
Yeah, Bill got to hang out recently with Joel Telling, and I forgot to ask him about that. Joel Telling, the 3D printing nerd.
Yeah,
and
that guy's a... Oh, shoot. We should have poked him on that.
Guy's great. He's just so cool. And I don't know if... I've been watching another 3D printing YouTube dude named Uncle Jesse, and that guy's good, too.
Uncle Jesse.
That guy's excited about everything. Yeah, I know, right? You think, like...
It's the first thing I thought of. Yeah.
Those old Duke boys and their 3D printing. Let's see what kind of hijinks they get into this time.
Freeze frame, go to commercial, come back later, and see if they make the jump. Spoiler, they always make the jump. Yeah. All right, check this out. Science. Look who it is. It's Science with Bobby Frankenberger, who joins us on Tuesdays, talks a little science every week. Hi, Bobby. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
As always, a pleasure, as my dad would say.
Yeah.
What's going on with you? Do you have anything crazy happen since we last saw you? You're all good?
I went to, this weekend, took the family for a semi-spontaneous trip. Like, we kind of planned it last minute to go to this, I don't know if they have them everywhere or where they go, but it's called Great Wolf Lodge. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah. I have.
Been
to
one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Where near, I guess, in South Carolina somewhere?
Well, it's in North Carolina, so it was about an hour and a half away. But that place, I'd never been before. That place is pretty cool. You know how, like, there are really cool things that until you, like, kids give you permission to be excited about? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's, like, this cool scavenger hunt type thing that they do called Magic Quest. And
so with the wand?
Yeah, you get these wands that you can point at. Like, you can activate all these different, like, treasure chests and things all over the walls, and you're given quests by this old bearded wizard. And it was Tristan, pretty cool.
When we went, Tristan was almost the perfect age for that. I had to kind of, like... You know, push him along to like, no, let's see what it does when we pointed at this thing over here. Now we've got to find the blah blah blah. But there's one here in Colorado by Colorado Springs. There's one in Ontario by the Anaheim Convention Center, and big old water park in the middle of it.
Oh yeah, indoor water park for this terribly on fire time of year.
Yeah,
for sure.
No kidding.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. Nothing too close to me. I could have sworn I'd been to one of these. Maybe I was in Scottsdale.
There's probably other things that are similar, right?
Yeah. So. It's interesting, though. Like, it's super rustic, right? All that stuff's supposed to look like, you know, old-timey.
It's like you're in a lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just like a rustic lodge with mascot characters walking around.
Right. And golden tea machines, just like a real lodge.
Yeah. Like in the olden times. Yeah. Right. Did you have to wear a coonskin hat or cap?
No, but they give you complimentary wolf ears that you can put on that are like, it's like a headband, you know, you put on and it's got...
Are they from actual wolves, or these are replicas of wolf ears?
Yes, in fact, they give you the wolf. You have to kill it yourself.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking. I'm in. Sign me up.
Skin it. They have skinning classes.
Yeah. You got to get up early for those. That's fantastic. What scientific data did you bring for us today to have our mind blown by?
Week, I've been... reading and researching a bunch for to do a roundup on the science podcast All Around Science. I've been reading about all the things that in just the few short weeks that the James Webb Space Telescope's been out, what has been discovered. We keep seeing pictures and headlines of random various things and just seems to be all over the place. So I've been doing a roundup of that kind of stuff, and I came across one that I thought would be interesting to talk about, which is you may have seen headlines that we've spotted the oldest known galaxy ever to be spotted has just been done. And when we say oldest, it's funny when you talk about time and telescopes, right?
Yeah.
When we say oldest, we do mean the one that we've seen that light that is the oldest. Right, like light that has come the farthest and is the oldest. So the particular one that we spotted was just about 300. It's light we're looking at the galaxy as it looked just about 300 million years after the Big Bang, which is which is really, really impressive, because if you the universe itself is 16.7 billion years old, so this is just like a few hundred million years. Just 300 million years is a blink of an eye in terms of how old it, and this may very well be the oldest light we are able to see right now with the technology that we have, and possibly pretty close to the oldest light that is it's possible to see at all.
Period.
That's really, we may not be able to see light before then because of the universe is described too much younger than that, like too much closer to the Big Bang. The universe is often described as being opaque. And that has to do with the fact that big objects hadn't formed yet, and it was just clouds of hydrogen gas, and they were neutral hydrogen, which means that hadn't been ionized, and so any photons that were bouncing around would have been absorbed by the hydrogen, and it wouldn't have let the light escape. So that's what we mean when we say opaque, that you couldn't see into it because the light wouldn't escape these clouds, right?
Yeah.
So this is pretty cool that we're able to see this far back.
Let me ask you this. I'm looking at this image, and how do they know? Okay, so like, let's just take that one little section that was so famous, the very first shot that everybody saw.
If
you took that and just pointed at any of those points of light, how do they know which ones are the oldest? Like, how do they know
how long the light has traveled to get here?
Yeah. How do they know?
Really, really good question. Brian, you said it. So the basic idea is you look at how old is the light? How long did it take to get here? Because light travels at a constant speed.
Yeah.
It only has one speed that it travels, and so if you know how long the light took to get to you, then you know how far away it is, because you just do simple arithmetic to figure it out, right?
Okay,
sure.
It's a little bit more complicated than that, though, because the galaxy or the universe is also expanding as light is traveling through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so since light always goes the same speed, it gets a little tricky because the distance that it's going is actually stretching while it's going through that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so you have to get really, really creative and figure things out. But the short answer, or the medium length answer to your question, I guess. I think I already blew past the short answer explanation. But the answer to your question is that they measure the redshift of the light.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So what happens is, as light is moving, since space itself is actually stretching, then the light gets the wavelength of light itself also gets stretched as it's moving.
Yeah.
So when you take a parcel of light that is a particular wavelength and you stretch it out, the wavelength gets longer, and that's what they refer to as redshift, because the longer, as you stretch out light, it shifts it towards the red end of the spectrum. Because red has a longer wavelength, and so like visible light, red is at the longer wavelength end. But then you go past that, and you get to infrared. And as you may know from reading or me blathering on about it sometimes, this particular telescope is very specifically designed to look at infrared light.
Mm.
So in particular, it's designed to try to probe the deepest parts of the universe, because that's the light that's getting out from those very early stages, is the infrared light. And even if it wasn't infrared light, it would have been stretched to infrared wavelengths.
Levels.
Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, and they know that, you know, they just haven't discovered a new kind of star that outputs light closer to the infrared spectrum. Like, they're like, it's not a star that's, you know, 12 miles away that just happens
right.
to be.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
They can
right.
pump out infrared light.
Sure.
Right, exactly. And they use other methods in combination with that. Where is it located? You know, what is the spectrum of light? Like, they look at the light in totality. What can you see? does it look like it's being warped and shifted around other things that would indicate that it's behind other things? They look at all sorts of things. One of the cool ways they identified that this was as old as it is, because once you get that far back, you can imagine that it might be harder to pinpoint exactly, is it 300 million years after the Big Bang, or is it 400 million years after the Big Bang? But one of the ways they were able to pinpoint that it was around 300 million years is pretty interesting. Infrared light is actually a wide range of wavelengths, right? They group it into three different kinds, but you can chunk it down even further than that. You hear about like near infrared, mid infrared, and far infrared, and these are just, you know, dividing the range of wavelengths up into different chunks, right?
Right.
And so what they know about the universe at this time was, as I said, light was just starting to escape these hydrogen clouds because hydrogen was just starting to coalesce and come together into larger packets and chunks and begin to gather energy enough and basically thin out, in a way, space so light could get out. Mm-hmm. But as that happened, only certain parts of light would be able to escape at a time. It wasn't like none of the light could get out and then suddenly all the light could get out. What would happen is as it slowly thinned out, some of the infrared at longer wavelengths would be able to escape. And then, but shorter wavelengths of infrared would still be trapped. And then as it thinned out some more, even, you know, mid-range infrared might be able to escape. And so, and kind of like that. So what they were able to do is look at this galaxy, and because this telescope can really look at light in a bunch of different tiny bands of infrared wavelengths, they were able to take the same picture in multiple exposures of different wavelengths of infrared, and they were able to just basically one at a time look at them and see, okay, we can see that galaxy now. Let's look at a shorter wavelength. We can still see it, and then once they get short enough, it disappears.
Oh, wow! So that's really cool.
That's wild.
Yeah, and so they know that light is escaping at these wavelengths, but not these ones. So that tells you even more information about how far away it is, how old the universe was, or how young it was really at that time, and all this kind of stuff. It's just amazing, cool things that they're able to do with this telescope now that they're able to collect such high detail infrared light that could never have been done because that telescope is 1.5 miles away or kilometers away.
What are the reasons why this may be? I don't know if this is a whole other subject for a different day, but why are we getting so much lens flare on the new images and the Hubble stuff didn't have all that? What is that?
Oh, J.J. Abrams was a sponsor.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. He's directing the whole thing. But also, fortunately for him, it's actually just part of the way that the telescope is constructed. Those flares that you're seeing every time you see a flare, it's a certain exactly the same number of flares in every star if you look closely enough. And it's because each of those lines, those rays radiating out from a star, corresponds to where two of the mirrors from the telescope actually come together. And so that's why you're seeing that. It's just a refraction pattern as a result of how the mirrors are constructed.
Interesting.
In fact, you still see that same sort of pattern with Hubble, but they're a different pattern because they had the mirrors were different, constructed differently.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's fascinating. That's so stuff. Cool. Yeah.
So, you know, since they can gauge the direction that, you know, everything is moving slowly out from the center of the universe, right? Like super duper slowly.
Sure.
So they have a pretty good idea of where the quote unquote center of the universe is. Well, we need to get a telescope out there. Like
I don't know that that's true though. I would have to look this up because I'm not 100% sure if what I'm about to say is true, but I think that there's not a lot of agreement on if there is a center to the
universe. Oh, really? Okay. Cause I would think like wherever the Big Bang originated would be considered the center. Everything
but I think
moves out from
when
that.
You talk about the Big Bang and you're talking about like like quantum forces that didn't even exist at the Big Bang. And I mean, space and time, this is where it gets really weird, is the actual thing, space and time, didn't exist until a certain point after the Big Bang. Because those are actual physical properties of the universe, space and time.
Right.
And that's about as much as I can say about that, because it's very complicated and mathy and I don't understand. but space and time itself are the result of how the physicality of the universe is condensing in a way. It was so hot that space and time, everything had so much energy that space and time couldn't exist. Very, very, you know, fractions of seconds after the Big Bang. It didn't take long for those things to form. But so that's why some people say, like, maybe some people will say the universe is infinite, right?
Yeah.
If the universe is infinite, it doesn't make sense to talk
about. There's no center. Yeah. Right. Obviously. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people in the chat room are agreeing, like basically echoing that sentiment that every spot is the center of the universe. I am finally the center of the universe.
Yeah. You are all the center of the universe. Exactly. All these years you've been like giving yourself shit for it, but really.
It's totally true. Prove it. I can prove it, Mom.
Yeah, prove it. You can't.
Finally.
Yeah, because everything in the universe is expanding away from itself, right? So, like every galaxy is getting bigger. Space itself is getting bigger.
Yeah.
So that's the other downside to think about, is that that you're also just getting bigger every day.
Yeah. That's so cool. It's pretty rad. Well, all right. This is deep stuff today. Really
deep space.
Yeah, I love it. I love talking about space. Probably more of that coming as we get. I mean, that's the other question I had: is the plan to just keep sucking images out of this thing and sharing it with the public, or
for as long as they can? Yeah, there's a lot of different projects going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different plans for things to do. Identifying the earliest galaxy we've ever seen was part of the GLASS. Project or the GLASS survey, there's other ones though. There's like the SEERS, CERS survey. There's different projects to look at stellar nurseries and how galaxies formed in the early universe, but even looking at, we've taken pictures of things in our solar system. There's a lot of information coming out about Jupiter and stuff like that, and so there's all these different tiny projects. They're just going to do as much as they can for as long as it's going on. But a lot of this stuff is already coming out. And that's what we're going to talk about. That episode will be out on this coming Monday, because we haven't recorded it yet. I'm still doing the research. But that's what I'm going to be talking about, is what are all these things that are these projects that are being worked on, and what have we discovered even just in the 3 weeks since it went online.
That's pretty awesome. Keep your eye on the prize over there at that show, All Around Science. They're going to cover that stuff. We'll bring it up here, and we'll have future episodes as well, because Bobby's a regular now on Tuesdays. Bobby, always a pleasure, man.
And always a pleasure to hang out with you guys. Yeah, so I'll see you next week.
Yeah, I'll be here. We'll add you to the call next week, and then our minds will be blown away again, you know? We'll see you later. All right. There goes Bobby.
Cool.
All right, Brian, we're winding down here, but real quick, a note about today. Play Retro is happening at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time today over at twitch.tv/frogpants. We're doing all things Kirby, at least the early years, so expect a lot of NES through Super NES sort of era of content, but we'll talk a little bit about where the series is now and why the current new game is the highest-selling Kirby game of all time. I love Kirby unabashedly, and you might as well. So tune in and find out, either live for the show at 3:30, or if you prefer the podcast, you can get that right after. That's me and Brian Dunaway, I should mention. All right. What else? Patreon.com/TMS is how you support this show. I want to thank Vatterung, who has been supporting us since 2014. He's awesome, an all-star, and someone who should be thanked for being here. So if you want to be like Vatterung and start your long haul with us, head on over to patreon.com/TMS and sign up today.
Long, fun, pleasant haul of being a TMS supporter.
The best haul you could ever haul.
The best haul. Yeah. Yes, the best
haul. Best haul. I have the best hauls. Frogpants.com/TMS.
All the time. It's the best haul.
All the time. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website, and you can always find us via email, themorningstream@gmail.com. Brian, we got to get out of here, but we can't do it until we have a song, so you must play it.
I will do that. Brian wrote in. Wait, was it me? No, I don't remember writing this, so it must have been somebody else. Yeah. Brian wrote in, said, on July 22nd, my wife and I took possession of our first home. Could you play a cover of Iron Maiden's Stranger in a Strange Land for us to move? Seems like an appropriate song. If you can't find a good cover of the song, any cover by or of Iron Maiden would be great. Please feel free to play the song anytime during the week if you already have requests for that day. Blah, blah, blah. We'll be moving and unpacking for several days, probably months. Hey, is it too early to get an sausage?
No. Although, I have to find it real fast. Let's see. I don't have it handy. Sausage. Okay, here we go. No, that's not it. Here you go.
Sausage.
Oh, we need the slow one, though.
Sausage.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
Still to this day feels like you play a longer version of that clip.
Wouldn't it be funny if
time.
Wouldn't it be funny if I was like if I had
I know it'd be totally
time.
Like I've thought about that being a possibility that you're
it
playing
wouldn't
a,
take that much.
You're playing a very long joke on me about
the long con's gonna go to about 2028 and I'll finally reveal that I've been doing it the entire time.
Exactly. No. I love it. I swear. Just when I think she's about to stop saying and switch to sausage. No, she has more in
she
her.
She has more in her.
Yes. All right. Well, I looked for a good cover of Stranger in a Strange Land. Found a lot of screamo stuff. Was not happy about that. Wasn't happy with my choices. So I hope you don't mind if I go with another Iron Maiden song being covered. This is probably, you know, their one of their biggest songs, The Trooper being another one. But Run to the Hills, very popular Iron Maiden song. This is a cover by Steven Seagulls from their 2015 album Farm Machine. It's Iron Maiden's Run to the Hills.
I'm sorry, Steven Seagulls?
Steven Seagulls.
That's amazing. All right.
I've played these guys for you before. This is not the first time you've heard
I don't know why that name is jumping out to me today. It's really
wait till you hear their music. It's even better than you could even expect.
I will make sure to take some time after the show. That's fantastic. All right. That's it. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with more. Oh, yeah. Wendy or Kim is sitting in tomorrow. I should mention. Brian's traveling.
Cool.
So it'll be Kim tomorrow.
Skim MS
tomorrow. Thursday, Brian will be there remote. And we'll be doing it normal there. And then Friday, you're home Friday for
I'm home Friday for Playdate.
Playdate.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned Playdate Friday, everybody.
Yeah, we're doing a Playdate Friday. Woo, it'll be fun. That's in place of Couch Party, which is in place of PM, which some listeners are still mad at me about. I got to figure out. I am, for those listening who are like, man, I miss having an extra chunk of just audio stuff because that's how I get the show. Sure. I got some ideas, okay? I've been thinking about it. We're going to work with Brian on it. We're going to talk about it. I'm not saying I don't have a solution yet, but we're working on it. I'm not ignoring your pleas, okay? I get it. I totally get where you're coming from. And everyone else who is really enjoying it, well, you'll keep enjoying it because we're not going to end it. We're not going to stop. So it'll work out for everybody in the end.
We might add another thing on top of it to appease the people who can't come here live. And it's like, well, yeah, it's great listening to you guys watch Loki, but if I'm not watching, it's not as fun.
Yeah, and I agree with them. You know, it's not. So we'll come up with something. We'll let you know sometime soon. But anyway, Playdate this weekend. That'll do it for us. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.
White man came across the sea. He brought us pain and misery. Close and barren wastes, galloping hard on the plains, chasing the redskins back to their holes, fighting them at their own game. Murder for freedom, stab in the back, women and children, a coward's attack.
to the hills. Run for your lives. Run to the hills. Run for your life.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Frosty-haired chode.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.